All right. Good morning, everybody. You've had a good morning so far? Amen. Me too. And so I'm going to jump into the Word here. Obviously, we have chosen to have some ministry time, so I'm not going to take that away from the Word. So if you have to leave at some point just because you have other commitments and you were thinking the service was going to be over at a specific time, just quietly exit. But I'm going to give you everything that I have today. And so what I'd like to do is continue kind of the same vein that the Lord had me doing a few weeks ago in changing it up on how we begin. So why don't you stand up one more time, grab your Bibles. Do you have your notebooks with you today? Yeah? Are you ready for the Word itself? All right, so what I'd like to do is I really felt the Lord just wants us to start praying and opening our hearts to receive the Word. So grab your Bible, hold it up in the air like we used to do, and let's begin to just pray this into our heart. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we give your Word first place in our hearts. We have come here today to let your Word transform us. We are expecting to hear something that sets us free, that empowers us, that creates your will in our lives. We come with faith open and curious to your Word today. We receive your impartation and the anointing upon your Word, and we will be faithful to do that which you tell us we can do. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say a big amen. Amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat and open your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I am going to conclude our series today on agents of change. And over the last few weeks, you know that we've been talking about missions. And obviously, our missionaries are part of those agents of change. And so the whole idea today is I want to build your faith in the area of missions. Hopefully in your bulletins you received a commitment card, which we'll do at the end of the service, so throughout the service, be thinking about what God would have you do to sponsor, to partner with missionaries and what they do. And so what we're gonna do is two things. We're gonna receive the pledges for the year about missions, but we're also gonna receive an offering towards a missions project that we're doing in Eswatini, creating a life church there that'll raise up pastors and indigenous people to go plant churches and set people free in that nation. And so our goal is to raise $7,000 for that church plant, okay? And then also to raise our missions budget for the year, which is $80,000. I'll explain that kind of as we go. But today, in kind of setting the tone, because I want you to have faith in what we're doing, I want us to see, if I could kind of capture the whole message today in one word, I kind of could see it in my spirit even while we were worshiping over the weekend. I saw the word hope in big letters kind of going over the entire message. There's this concept, when we send missionaries and when we talk about missions, we are sending hope around the world. We believe, we still have hope that this world can be transformed. Does anyone believe that? I know we can watch the news media and it tries to get us paranoid about all the things that are wrong in the world, but when we link in with the message of God and the messengers of God, we do that because we still have hope that no matter what we see with the natural eye, God can change it, right? And that comes from hope. That comes from hope, and that's what today is about. I want to raise your hope level. So today, if you're taking notes, which I hope you all are, I've entitled it The Message and Messengers. The message and messengers, because they go together. I want to raise your hope level, your expectation level. So in Romans chapter 1, I want to talk to you about the message, just the message that our missionaries are carrying with them, and I want to bring hope back into that again. I want you to see the power of the message again. So Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Have you found it in your Bibles? All right. For I am not ashamed of this good news. Some of your Bibles say the word the gospel. Don't you love that word? It's been around forever, but man, I still love the word, the gospel. For I am not ashamed of this gospel or this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. It is what? It is the message. It is the gospel. It is the good news. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes it. Can I hear amen on that? The good news, the gospel, wherever it goes, whoever can hear it, and anyone, any tribe, any tongue, any nationality, any male, female, doesn't matter, young or old, rich or poor, anyone who put their faith in it will be saved. Amen. the good news, the gospel. I am not ashamed of this good news of Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. That's where most of us would fall into that category. This good news tells us how to make us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. As we begin this today, I have to bring us back to the hope of the message itself, the hope of the gospel. Everything begins with the gospel. Everything begins with the good news. It starts there. The gospel is the doorway, the entry point into everything else God has for us. Amen? It is the gospel. It is the good news that is the power of God to a whole new life for people. You may be excited about healing. You may be excited about people getting freed from demonic oppression or generational curses. You may get excited about people connecting to the provision of God's ability to supply their needs. You may be excited about heaven. I don't know what you're excited about, but guess what? It all starts with the gospel. The gospel is the way into all of that. For any person, for any life, it starts with them hearing this good news. This gospel is the beginning of everything, and there is power in the gospel. It is not like reading a newspaper kind of good news where you're just reading news. This news has power in it to create what it says. Come on now, somebody. See, when you read the newspaper, you're reading about something. This message turns you into someone. It's the gospel, and in that message is the power to turn you into what it says. We have to have hope again in this message. This message must be preached because wherever it goes, it's the beginning of everything God has for a person's life. Open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. I love how these two verses go together so beautifully. The book of Colossians chapter 1 in verse 6. It says it again, just trying to put our faith back into the power of this message, back into the power of this good news. Sometimes I think we get so familiar with it, we forget how life-changing this message is and what it creates in the human life. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, this same good news, or gospel, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It, there it is, that word again, that word it, referring to the message, referring to the good news of the gospel. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. You know, wherever the gospel goes, it bears fruit. The problem is not the gospel, it's just we got to get it to more places. In anyone's life that the gospel can get to, it will produce the fruit. It will change their life. It will transform their situation. Can you still see that? Do you still believe that? I still believe that. This gospel is going out all over the world, which means it supersedes any kingdom, any culture. It supersedes any trends of a generation, right? Some people say, oh, that was powerful in the 50s. My goodness, the gospel transcends the ages. It is timeless. It is God, amen, in his word manifesting himself. It doesn't age. It's always relevant. It's always potent, amen. The gospel wasn't more powerful 2,000 years ago than it is today. Come on. And it's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of everything. The gospel must be preached, the good news about faith in Jesus to pay for your sins. He's the Son of God that came, put flesh on, died on a cross for your sins. If you believe in him, you shall not perish. You have everlasting life, but then you have this whole other inheritance, all beginning with the gospel. It is producing fruit wherever it goes, just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. And so today, talking about the message, it's just reminding us the power that's in that gospel. And it must go. It must get everywhere because everywhere the gospel goes, it has the power to transform everything. You know, here's the cool part. It says wherever it goes, it's going to produce fruit. That means it can even go into a closed nation where the government doesn't want it, and it'll still produce fruit in that hostile environment. Matter of fact, that's how you change a nation. You sow a seed through a message in the mouth of a messenger into the heart of a local citizen or person, their life is transformed and it begins to produce fruit and grow and grow and grow. And it doesn't matter if the kings or the governments of this world try to oppose it, the gospel will produce fruit even there. Armies have come against it, rulers have come against it, media has come against it, and the gospel keeps working. Come on now, somebody. It keeps changing lives. It keeps forgiving sins. It keeps linking them into the power of God and making a slave a son or a daughter in Jesus' name. It links them to heavenly power so they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now signs and wonders are going into that nation that was closed off to the gospel. It doesn't matter if the nation is closed if we can get the gospel in one way or another. Isn't that awesome? But we have to put our confidence and belief back in the power of this message. This is not Sunday school message, my friend. This is not one of those things where give or take, if it happens, great, if it doesn't happen. I'm trying to remind us that everything in human history and the future of the world hangs on this message getting to more people. We've got to go back to that full belief, full confidence. Remember how this gospel changed your life. That's what the scripture just said. Do you remember where you were and where you are now? It started because the message got to you. Somebody say amen. Amen. What if it wouldn't have come to you? You would still be under those curses. You would still be in bondage of sin. You would still be on a road to hell. But the message came to you and it did the heavy lifting. It did the work. It changed your life. But if we don't get back to that confidence about the message getting out, and it needs to get out, then we won't be motivated to do what it takes to get the message out because we are too casual about the gospel. Come on. We cannot approach it casually, not in this life-changing message. This was God's wisdom of God of how to change the world. The wisdom of God is in this message. Come on. But the message requires messengers. Please write that in your notes. The message requires messengers. So everywhere the message goes, it'll produce fruit. But the message must be carried by messengers. Do you see that connection? Now, as much as I love digital media, I love social media, I love television, radio, print media, books, I want us to see that this message still requires person-to-person contact, boots on the ground in those nations. Because this message, in its transformation power, is asking us and requiring something of us that's not just speaking words or sharing a story. Let me show you something really quickly about why the message will always require boots on the ground, person-to-person contact. Now, I'm not saying that you don't support TV ministry or you don't support radio. All that is good, but it must be supported by real flesh and blood people in those nations to produce the full power of that message. Do you understand what I'm saying? So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 so that you can see why this message will always require messengers, will always require messengers. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. Now, how many of you believe that if God gives us a command that we need to follow it? Raise your hand. All right, good. Almost 100%. You're way better than the last group. Only 75% of them believe that. They are going to be shocked. When God gives us a command, you need to follow it. And there's a command given to us here in Matthew chapter 28, but it links to why the message will always require a messenger. Jesus, in ascending to heaven after his resurrection, gives us some final thoughts. This is one of the passages that gives us a portion of his final thoughts. In verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go." Now, real quickly, before I go into that, I want you to see the value of what he just said. Jesus didn't just say, "All power and authority is given to me on heaven and earth," so that we could be aware of his power and authority, kind of like, na-na-na-na-na-na, I'm powerful, you are not. Jesus is communicating his position, his power, and his authority, and then he says, therefore, go. Why is he doing that? Because as you go, the one with power and authority is sending you and going with you. So he's letting you know who is with you as you go. Come on now. He's letting you know it's not the kings of the earth, it's not the governments of the earth. I'm the one with power and authority, and I'm commissioning you to go. And I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. The one with power and authority is going with you to do the job. You're not going on your own, you're going with me. And I win. Come on now. And I win. Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you, and be sure I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The reason the message will always take messengers, boots on the ground, is because it's not just the message itself, but the assignment is to create disciples. And discipleship will always take people-to-people contact. Discipleship is life on life. Amen? And so when that message goes into a nation, even if it's through radio or through print media or through television, there needs to be people there that take that message and help people understand how to apply that in their everyday life. People to teach people how to now be a believer, how to pray and ask God and to believe God, how to stand in faith when discouragement comes, how to apply that promise to their situation, how to live for Jesus in a culture and environment that doesn't know God yet. We always will need living, breathing, flesh and blood in other nations, proclaiming the good news, but making disciples. And making disciples takes people-to-people contact. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. It doesn't happen by just hearing it one time. It takes people teaching them how to apply and how to stand and how to use that message and where it works into their culture and into their life. Do you understand what I just said? That's why we cannot just say, well, hey, just broadcast it for free on the internet. No, we need missionaries' boots on the ground to create true disciples. Even you, my guess for you is you were taught to pray by watching someone pray, not just reading books on prayer, not just seeing it on television, but you got into a room where other people were praying, and by being in that environment of other people, you were taught to pray. I was raised with this saying as a kid. Prayer is caught more than taught. You begin to pray like the people that you're around that pray. And it's the same thing true with everything else in your life. You learn how to witness that way. You learn how to believe God by watching other people believe God. You learn how to stand. I mean, it's all people to people. We will always need messengers. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 2. Don't go there for sake of time, but I'll just remind you of this passage. Jesus tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers and laborers are few. I just want us to remember that as we're getting ready to sow seed into missionaries, that there's never a problem with the harvest. The harvest is always ready. Wherever the gospel can go, wherever we can get it there, it will produce. Jesus 2,000 years ago told us the problem is not with the harvest. There is plenty of harvest. Again, America, media, tries to tell us nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Nobody wants church. Nobody wants. I want you to know this today. That is a lie. The media is not telling you the truth. Hollywood is not telling you the truth. People want to live after death. They do. People want, yeah, you can celebrate that. They want to see their loved ones again. Amen. You talk to someone that's lost a child or lost a spouse, they want to see them again. People want freedom from addiction and bondage. They know they're dying, and they don't know how to get out. People want power. Do you believe people want some sort of power? I do. Some sort of authority? People want God to be real, whether they admit it or not. And you can go to every nation, and you can find that people want the good news. They want this. The harvest is plentiful. The lack of the deficiency is in the harvesters, those that are willing to go become carriers of this message. There's a bunch of reasons for that. I mean, even here locally, we're supposed to be messengers carrying the message even in our workplaces. And we can fall short by being afraid or by being too busy in our own life to even share the gospel with our own neighbors. But some of the reason that we don't have laborers to go around the world is it costs a lot of money to raise up laborers. It costs a lot of time. They've got to be trained and developed, and then they have to be deployed and sent, and they have to be willing to sacrifice their families and sacrifice their own life to say, I'm not going to live my life for my own self-interest. I'm going to live my life for the kingdom of God and the global interest of God. And that's a rare find. Do you understand what I just said? Not everyone is signing up to leave their home and their fathers and their mothers and their brothers and their sisters and say, I may never see you again. Or say, I may see you once a year or every other year. I'm going to raise my whole family away from my support network. That is a rare find. So what do I say to that? I say this. When we see someone who's willing to push through the fear, someone who's willing to sacrifice their family self-interest and their comfort and willing to go, then we should support them as quickly and as fully and confidently as possible, because there's not a lot around. And so when they say, I'm willing to go, we, the church, should say, we're willing to send. Do you hear me? Because the gospel is going to require messengers. And there's a shortage of messengers willing to discomfort themselves and to go around the world. So when we see them, we should make it as easy as possible for them. Do you agree with that? I do. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. I want to talk to you about, now that we understand the power of the message and we understand that it's going to require messengers, I'd like us to kind of remember the fact that our messengers need to be sent properly. It's very important that people don't just go, but that they are sent. There is a difference. Scripture gives us examples of missionary endeavors, and they were always sent. It's not just, hey, I wake up one day and I just go out there on my own. This is something that we get to do together. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, but how can they call on him, Jesus, talking about Jesus, to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? See, there's the power of the message again. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them, the messenger? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Messengers must be sent. They must be raised up. They must be trained, and they must be sent. That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. The value of being sent. Being sent, I believe, is different than just going, because in being sent, there is a covenant relationship between a messenger and a local church or a body. It is not they're out there on their own trying to do something, but we are doing something and we are spiritually connected to them. We are spiritually covenanted to them. So number one, one of the benefits of being sent is the prayers of the sending church over the missionaries. Now, I would just like to remind us that we believe this is a spiritual reality, that missions work and building the kingdom is not just what we can see in the natural. There is an unseen realm. Do you believe that? There's wicked forces in heavenly places that oppose that message from getting out. There are generational and cultural curses and demons that people have worshipped, if you think about it globally and tribally in other nations. Even here in America, we worship demons. We just don't call them that. Call them our jobs. We call them our careers. Anyways, I just want us to remember that when a missionary asks you for prayer and we send them, they genuinely want your prayers. And our prayers really matter to them. If you think that a missionary only asks you for prayer because it's the appropriate thing to do, but what they really want from you is your money, you're wrong. Oh, they have to say they want our prayers. They really want my money. We've never been out there like they've been out there. Let me tell you something. When you're out there and you're opposing the atmosphere, you're opposing cultural opposition, and you're out there on your own, you know your $50 isn't going to mean enough to them, but your intercessory prayer means everything to them. When their child is sick because they contracted some sort of a sickness from being over there, drinking the water, I don't know, maybe you got bitten by something, and God wakes you up in the middle of the night because you're in covenant with them and you're praying for their healing, that means way more than your $25 a month. I just want to remind us that they really do want our prayers. And part of the benefit of being sent is a group of people say, we will always have you in our hearts and we will keep you in our prayers. We still believe in the power of prayer. That's why you don't just go either. You don't just go on your own because you need prayer support. And so one of the benefits of being sent is being prayed for. I want to accept that challenge even in myself. I was even stirred this weekend on Wednesday nights as we come together and we pray on Wednesday nights. I want to make sure we spend a specific amount of time calling out the names of our missionaries. Take another level of responsibility to pray over them because they need it. And so being sent means you're prayed over. Being sent means, yes, you're partnered with financially. Think about this. If we're sending them, think about like the military. If they deploy a battalion or they deploy a group of Navy SEALs or whatever it is, then they're taking responsibility to also resource them to do the job. Does that make sense to you? So it doesn't make sense if we say we're sending our missionaries, but we won't give them the material resources they need to do the job. So again, when a church is a sending church, or we say we're going to partner with you in prayer, and we're sending you over there to the mission field because we know if the message can get there, it's going to change their lives because we believe in the power of the message. But then we also know it needs a messenger to create disciples. And we're saying, go, we support you, we believe in you, we're going to pray for you, but also we're sending you, so we must then take the responsibility to resource you. It's part of the whole thing of being a sending church. But also, now here's some of the cool parts I want you to remember as well. If we're praying over them and standing with them and fighting with them in the Spirit, if we're supplying their resources to do the job, then guess what? Their wins become our wins. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says that God credits those things to our account. And so as that nation is being changed, you're a part of changing a nation. As those families and generational curses are being broken in the new lands and the new territories, there's new beginnings to whole family lines. You're a part of those wins. Come on now, get excited about that, church. Because we've sent them, we've covered them, we've fought with them in the trenches for the Spirit, and we've resourced them to do the job. So their wins become our wins. And one day when we get to heaven, I do believe this. This has inspired me as a little kid, even in missions. They always talked about one day you'll get to heaven, and there'll be people that come up to you and they shake your hand and they say, thank you. And I'll be like, well, I never met you. What do you mean, thank you? No, you don't realize, but when you gave to missions, they brought us Jesus and my whole family is here today. And one day people will thank you in heaven because of what you didn't see with your eyes, but you sent them. You sent the messengers. I still believe that. I believed that when I was 9 years old and I heard it, and I still believe it today. There will be people in heaven that will shake your hand that you'll never have met here on the earth, but you changed their life because you partnered with your missionaries, your messengers. Number four benefit is they realize they're not alone when they're sent. And number five, I love this word, they're part of our family. Write the word family down. Family's a big deal to me. I think it's a big deal to all of us. I want our missionaries in this next season, as we're kind of ramping up our missions endeavors again, that our missionaries feel like they're family. That when you sign up for their newsletters, you actually read them and you pray over them. That you connect with them on Facebook, Facebook Messenger, social media. And you, when you see them do something marvelous, you say, way to go. We're proud of you. We believe in you. They are not alone and they feel like they have family here at Life Church. Wouldn't that be great? Don't you think that would be awesome for them? I believe that myself. So let's get back to real quickly just a few reasons of why we do this. Why do we send? Why do we give to missions? Number one, I've already addressed it. Write it in your notes one more time just for the sake of repetition. One of the reasons why we send is because we believe in the truth of the message. Give me an amen. How many of you believe in the truth of the message? Raise your hand. Number two, we believe in the power of that truth. Raise your hand if you believe in the power of that truth. It's two major reasons why we give to missions. The message needs to go out there. Inside of that message is the power of God to change your life unto salvation. Number three also, I want to bring us back to this thought. We believe, why do we give to missions? Why must the message get out? Why must we send messengers? Number three, we believe there is an eternity to gain and a hell to avoid. I don't know if this is a popular message anymore, but it's still in the Bible. there is eternal life to gain. But the Bible tells us there's only one way to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I know we live in a pluralistic society where people say whatever you believe is fine, but our Bible doesn't teach that. And our Bible doesn't teach that when anyone dies, they just get to go to whatever paradise they want to go to. There's one way to God because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there needs to be a payment for our sin. And our good works aren't enough to cut it. Are you following me, church? God isn't sending people to hell. We send ourselves there. God is sending out life preservers. But if we're not sending messengers with the message, the preservers aren't getting to whole groups of people, and they will be lost without it. So now a sense of responsibility and urgency. We have to go back to this concept. Why must we send the message? Because the message is the only thing that can save a soul. Amen? And if we don't give them the message, they go to a real hell. Come on now. We forgot all about this part of this gospel, this part of the Bible, because the world doesn't like to talk about it anymore. Whatever you want to believe is fine. That's not according to the scripture. And so there's an urgency and a responsibility because we believe there is eternal life, we believe there's a heaven, and we believe there's a hell, and the only way out of hell is through the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. And the message has to get out to save everyone as possible. And then number five, another unpopular point of view is this. We believe that we will all stand before Jesus and give an account for our lives, our time, our talent, and our treasure. Write these verses down, please, for future reference. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Speaks of a moment where every single believer, and a lot of you may not even know this, depending on your church background. No one has told you this. But every believer will have an appointment with Jesus one-on-one. This is not a judgment of whether or not you get to go to heaven. This is rather an accountability moment of how we spent our lives. Again, it's really good to hear this because in a world that preaches kind of a loose grace message, there is still accountability to how you lived your life. We will all stand before Jesus one-on-one, and he will say, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your talents? What did you do with your treasure? The Bible tells us in those passages I quoted to you that some of the things that we did with our life, when they're tested through the fire of his judgment or his eyes, will be burned up like wood, hay, or stubble. But other things that we've done that are connected to eternal purposes, that are connected to loving people, that are connected to making the world a better place and bringing Jesus to people, they will be found to be more like gold and precious jewels. Isn't that awesome? Now the Bible says, even when our stuff gets burned up, he says, you'll still be saved like a moth through a flame. But you know what? We don't have to live lives that are like a moth through a flame. We can choose to live lives that are intentionally connecting to eternal plans and eternal purposes. Why do I bring this up and why we do this? Because it's just another reminder that God will say, what did you do with your life? What did you do to help with the message getting out? What did you do to help people find me? We will all have to give an account for that. So yes, there is a motivator in that. Knowing there's accountability to what I did with my time and my money, I, yes, have an awareness of how I spend my life and what I do. So those are my reasons of why we send, why we give to missions. We believe in the truth of the message. We believe it has the power to transform. We believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. We believe that is we will stand before Jesus and give an account of our lives and our time and our talents. And one last one is this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We believe it's God's will that none should perish. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We believe it's God's will that none should perish. And the only way that's going to happen is if they hear the good news of Jesus. So, church, here's what I'd like you to do. Why don't you go ahead and grab your little sponsor cards. Ushers, if you have some of these cards, you might want to go up and down the aisle a little bit so if people miss this, they can just kind of wave you down. I want you to start to begin to fill this out and to kind of prayerfully be thinking, what should we do in response to the message and the messengers? And so it's a pretty simple form to fill out. Please write legibly, okay? Please do not write in tongues. Come on now. Your first name, your last name, street address, city, state, zip code, email, a contact number, and it's pretty simple form. What do you believe the Lord might be asking you to do monthly over the next 12 months? $25 a month, $50 a month. You might say, hey, us as a family, when we go out to eat, it's 50 bucks. We're going to donate one meal out a month to missions. We're going to, rather than going out, we'll stay home, we'll make something at home, and we'll give that money to missions as a family. Whatever you feel led to do, I believe the Lord will put a number on your heart, and he's going to be faithful to help provide that extra into your resources to do that. I just want us to be faithful to do that. Could be $100 a month, could be more. And so this is going towards the operational needs of our missionaries, okay? Open your Bibles one more time, if you would please, as you kind of prepare for this, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I felt like I'm supposed to read kind of some perspective and some blessing over your life before we pray over this and we sign it. While you're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to celebrate a couple things to give you some perspective of our missions work now. We currently support 32 missionaries located in 21 countries on 5 continents around the world. Last year, We Life Church gave $183,000 to missions and missions works around the world. Can you celebrate that? $183,000 to missions and missions works around the world. So in doing that, in that $183,000, it involves the operational support for our missionaries, it involves the projects that our missionaries ask us to partner with, and it involves some of our trips that we've taken where we've brought resources and supply and boots on the ground to help and encourage our missionaries as we go over there to support them. So this today is one portion of that larger goal and vision. So this is the support or the operational portion. That's why we said our goal is 80,000. That's what we've committed to our missionaries, and that pays for their food, their housing, or a portion of it, you know, their food, their housing, their electricity, the gas in their car to go where they need to go. This is what they live on. So that's a big deal. This monthly support is what our missionaries budget and plan their lives on. But we're going to continue to bring you opportunities and projects that our missionaries will ask us throughout the year. Remember, we changed that up with the Greater Things campaign. We were going to do it all in one big lump sum, but we said we're going to come back and we're going to bring those projects to you one at a time so you can see them, you can give to them as you're willing at that moment. And so today, we're taking the pledge cards, raising the 80,000 commitment for the year, but today, one of those projects is that church plant in Eswatini, with Pastor Chad and Wendy Owens and the ministry they do there in Swaziland, where we're going to plant a church. In that church, the pastor there is going to raise up other pastors and do our Bible school that we do here there. And so now we're raising up indigenous messengers to take that gospel message that we preach even here in this house, and we disciple people in this house to take that same message and then spread it throughout that nation. Isn't that awesome? And that project is a $7,000 project. Can you imagine that? You plant an entire church for $7,000. And that stays, and that produces fruit from generation to generation to generation. So today we're doing two things. We're receiving the pledge cards, but then also we're receiving an offering. You can write it, check to Life Church. That whole offering will go towards that $7,000 project. Anything over $7,000 will go to other missions projects that we're doing throughout the year. Let me read this passage of scripture to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Just felt like this was appropriate kind of as we get our hearts right. This is the Apostle Paul. This is so funny. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church of Corinth, talking to them about their pledge, their missions pledge. This has been happening for 2,000 years because they had made a pledge to support the believers in Jerusalem. And so Paul was keeping them accountable on their pledge and making sure their mind and their heart was in the right place as they were fulfilling their pledge, okay? So the Apostle Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's go to verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your own heart how much to give. That's what we're trying to do right now. Nobody's looking over your shoulder. Nobody's going to come knocking on your door saying, hey, where's the money? This is between your covenant, between you and God and the missionaries, okay? You must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Hey, there's no pressure here. If you walk out this door and don't give anything, no one will know. It's just between you and God. No pressure. But the Bible says that you decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now, why would a person give cheerfully? Because they get it. They understand that their money is turning into something powerful, something eternal, something meaningful. And so it's not a fake excitement. It's a genuine excitement. That's what we want here. We want people who have a genuine enthusiasm to get the message out, to support messengers, and you see it. It's real to you. It makes sense. It's not about filling a budget or meeting a need. It's you see the covenant partnership. You see the reality of it, and that's why you get excited. And so we say, are you excited to give? There's a genuine enthusiasm saying, yes, I am, because I get it. God loves a cheerful giver. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's a promise from the Lord, that as we seek first his kingdom and we take care of God's business, he will always make sure you have more than enough. Do you believe God's promise today? That's why I don't want to just talk about a pledge. I want you to have your faith to understand God's not asking you to starve in helping his missionaries. He's saying, you partner with me, and this is one of the ways I will bring prosperity into your house. Amen. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will, and I love the confident word there, he will provide and increase your resources. Say amen. And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way, not just financially. Yeah, you get blessed financially, sure. But you know what? There's also the enriching of knowing you're doing something with your life that really matters. There's other ways to be enriched just besides finances, although you will be enriched, yes, in your resources. And when we take your gift to those who are in need, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. I don't know if people really understand that giving is a part of ministry. It is a ministry. Your giving is not about putting just money in a plate or, again, just budgets or whatever. You see it as a ministry. This is one of the ways you minister to the Lord, which ministry means serve. This is one of the ways we serve the Lord is with our giving, but it's one of the ways we serve each other. We serve our missionaries. We wash their feet by giving. Are you understanding? We support them. We supply for them. We're ministering to them. We're encouraging them. We have a ministry of giving. Giving is a ministry. And I love that. I want you to see it that way, even for your own personal giving to the church. The needs of the believers of Jerusalem. So it was saying two things are going to be met by the result of this ministry of giving. Number one, the needs of the believers of Jerusalem, or we can say the needs of our missionaries, are met. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God as a result of your ministry. Now, I used to say this a lot, but I want to remind us that your money turns into whatever you send it to do. When you go to the mall and you send your money to purchase a sweater, you say, money, turn into a sweater, and it turns into a sweater. Isn't that amazing? It literally turned into what you assigned it to do. Did you understand what I just said? When you go to Starbucks, you say, money, turn into a tall triple cappuccino, light on the milk, heavy on the foam with a little bit of cinnamon. It works. The money turns into what you send it to do. And the same thing will happen. That's what the Bible's trying to help you see here. Your money turns into a couple things. It turns into the missionary getting the needs supplied, but then it turns into that ministry happening through the missionary, somebody's life getting changed, and somebody saying, thank you, God. You did that. You caused that reaction. And I even love this. They don't say, "Oh, thank you, Kevin. They will never know my name." They thank God. So my money turns into something that changes someone's life, and God gets all the glory and the credit. Isn't that awesome? That's a powerful ministry we get to be a part of. So let's just take a moment and pray, ask the Lord to give us a number, and then we'll receive those and we'll close with your offering for the church plant. Heavenly Father, right now we take these cards and we ask that you would speak to us a number that's from you, a number that our faith locks into, a number that we get excited about, a number that we're confident over, a number that we're joyfully giving. And every month, no one's going to have to remind us because we're excited to do it. And so, Lord, I thank you for giving us that number, and we listen, and we will be obedient as you commit that to us now, in Jesus' name. So just kind of sit for about a minute or so. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you can fill out in that card, and we'll receive that. And then also, Lord, whatever number you would have us give towards the church plant, that you would give us that number today as well, and we will be faithful to do that. Go ahead and take some time and fill that out. All right, let's go ahead and stand. We'll hold those cards up to the Lord. Ushers, you're ready to receive these and the offering that'll go with them. If I can get some of my prayer team to come down here to the front, they're going to be ready to pray for you as I dismiss. You might need healing or freedom, or maybe you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit or give your life to Jesus. They're here to pray with you. But let's go ahead and pray, and we'll sow these commitments and then also your offerings to the Lord. Let's pray over these. Go ahead and hold up your cards one more time, and let's pray. Some of you are already giving. Look how excited you are. Love it. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we write these things down. We covenant and commit to them in Jesus' name, to our missionaries. And Lord, we even take another commitment and say, God, we begin one more time to lift our missionaries up name by name to help them feel like they have family here, to help them feel like they have genuine support here. God, we pray that you would help us build that church in Swaziland, God. We sow these seeds. We sow these pledges. We thank you for what we get to be a part of over the next 12 months in missions. And we thank you, God, that you are faithful to take care of our needs as well. We thank you for those promises as well. We give joyfully now in Jesus' name. If you believe all that, say a big amen. 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 You're dismissed as you sow. So as the opportunity comes by you, go ahead and give. You are dismissed. Altars are open if you need prayer. Thank you so much for your participation today.